yes, 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 yes.
You know what day it is. It is Friday in the city of Tuscaloosa. And you're watching 90.7 The Capstone. Excuse me, listening.
I'd say, if you're watching this, then
that's amazing.
We need to get security in here immediately.
Yeah, that's right. It's a student section. You already know who it is. JD Kazaya, right across from me. And you already know it's your boy, Devin Hughes. JD, tell me about your week.
Woo. Devin, we were just talking about this off air, but this has felt like a month. This has been the longest week of my semester, without a doubt.
I mean, dude, we're just, like you said before, I just feel like I'm existing. Like, I've lost all my sense of time. Like, I don't know what's going on. I just know I'm busy. I just go on from day to day, taking it one day at a time, or at least days, hours, weeks. I really don't know. Like, I'll look at my watch and be like, what time is it? What day is it? I'm just existing.
Man, you know it.
But hey, we know it's Friday. Woo. It is 7:02 to be approximate. Man, we're on the air. So that means we got to get to sports. Bang. And we've been talking about time. Can you believe it's only been a week since we beat on Tennessee, baby? Woo!
Woo! Man. Tell me about it. I tell you what, you talk about a game I did not expect us to win at all. I mean, before the game I did, but as soon as I started, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Because, you know, Tennessee, they started bullying us all game, couldn't get a rebound. And whenever we did, they steal it right back. Just, Devin, this game really proved that Alabama is a holy team. And I'm not talking about sanctified in the blood of the Lamb kind of holy. I'm talking about they got a lot of problems, like H-O-L-E, a lot of holes there, especially in the paint. They're... The big men are not really bringing it.
Tell me about it. I mean, when you look on the TV screen, you're 5 minutes deep into a basketball, college basketball game, and you see the score is 0-5. Man. You're scratching your head like, what am I watching? This is not. Am I not watching baseball? Am I like, what's going on? And this Alabama team, man, you cannot be doing this at this time. I know it was February when they played, but you can't do this going into March. That's you right. cannot. Like, I can't comprehend what they're doing. I'm happy they won. They won. I mean, LeBaron Fallon coming in the clutch with that last little possession. And did you see his little emote when he saw dude guarding him? He just shook his head like, no. You know what's about to happen. Why him? Why him?
That's right.
I mean, man. But, I mean, an amazing game thus far. What a comeback. I mean, at the end of the half, it was 28-40. Like, tell me, like, how?
Phenomenal. I mean, shout out to Latrell Wrightsell, who's really been peaking over these last few games. The man had 25 points, 8-for-12, with the just from the floor, 3-for-4 free throws. But I mean, guys like him have been really stepping up in the course, like you just mentioned. LeBaron Fallon, that's what your best players do. When you need them to be great, they are great. And I mean, shout out to him for sure. But going back, like, we got rebounded by 47-30. My goodness. Just, I'm legit. Like, if we can't fix these, we're getting bounced in the second round, dude.
You're right. I mean, this is absolutely insane. I mean, we only led the game for, what, 17 seconds, I believe?
22. 22. Completely. I mean, it was the 22 that mattered, but.
So, I got a 22-17. That looks sounds familiar. But anyway, I mean, Alabama, they've got to do better. I mean, they're lucky Tennessee played down because typically in games like this, Tennessee just demolished. They just whoops them. They're just beating them. It's like that old Simpsons little meme. They'd be like, stop, he's already dead. And then it's just like, yeah, but Alabama, they persevered. They strove. They came back. And then they showed us why they deserve to lose the next game.
Golly, I mean – fortunately, I was not able to watch this game. I was really busy Tuesday night, but I got back home. I checked the score. I was like, huh? Really?
Yeah.
We give up 98 to Georgia. I mean, now, let's give Georgia their flowers. They're a good team. They're a tournament team for sure and going on the road too. But, I mean, kind of like what you were just saying, in March, we shouldn't be playing like this in March. Like, sure, I'd be cool if we were playing like this in January, but first game in March, lose – by 10 on the road to a team who, quite frankly, is not as good as you are.
I mean, they really aren't. I mean, Georgia's good, but they're not on the same caliber as Alabama. Like, I don't know what was going on. It's the stuff that baffles me. It's like what could have gone wrong went wrong with the Tide, and it was just pitiful. I mean, Georgia's 9-8 in conference. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, Alabama, what are you doing?
This team is so inconsistent. Like, we've seen their highest highs, like that Arkansas game and the way they demolished Kentucky earlier in the year, and even like way earlier in the year when they beat like St. John's and like all those other great teams. But they don't play like that every game, Devin. I mean, I forget. I think it was the Mississippi State game. We're like, if they shoot like this every game, they'll win every game. And mm-hmm. yeah, true. But they don't ever do that.
Exactly. I mean, they're completely one-dimensional. They shot 25 from 64 in the field. 39% compared to Georgia's 53. Like, Coach Oates, you've got to – we can't be so one-dimensional. Right. Like, I get it's fun to watch us score, but I don't like that it's the only thing we can do. Like, we've got to learn how to play some good defense. Like, letting up 98 against Georgia? Are you kidding me? Like, we've got to get rebounds. I mean, for this game, we got out-rebounded by 10. I can't even imagine just watching a game. I feel like the stats are just not telling the full story.
No.
But Alabama led for only 9% of the game.
Come on, man.
Like, you're playing behind against Georgia. I mean, it's like almost like a mirror. And you're just watching how Tennessee fell apart against you. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll raise you one. I'll play worse than you. Like, what are you doing? Like, if Alabama wants to make a run, they have to cut out the inconsistency.
Right.
Like, it at this point, it's went out and that's it. Like, survive in advance. I mean, go to the SEC tourney, can't lose, you lose. That's going to affect your seed. Come tournament time, when it's the real deal, you lose. That's your season.
I think the way we're talking right now is kind of perfect for how all Alabama fans feel right now. I want to apologize to our listeners. I mean, we sound baffled because we are. This team, yeah. I don't know what we're watching. I mean, it's like what were we just talking about? It's so different from week to week. Like, this team has the talent to win the entire thing. I'm just going to come out and say, absolutely. Like, yeah, they do. But they could also get bounced in the first round by, like, McNeese, the way they play. Like, God forbid, but I mean, they could if they keep getting out rebounded like that. If a team can slow it down and play like the dirty basketball that makes you rely on defense, I don't think Alabama would do very well.
I mean, we've seen this before with that Robert Morris scare last year.
Oh, like, my goodness.
You can't do this because they'll fool around and beat you. I mean, we got Jack Golke. I was talking about him earlier today with somebody. And I was just like, yeah, that man, he showed up. He showed out. He beat Kentucky. Like, single-handedly, he was shooting threes. Then I was talking with the older gentleman. He was talking about Stephen Curry beating Gonzaga. Mm. He was just like, man, like, all it takes is one dude to get hot in March. And he'll just destroy anybody. I mean, he can take down Giants, one seed. We've seen one seeds fall before. Like, so welcome to the madness of March is all I got to say.
Man, I mean, this is, not going to lie, out of any postseason, I think college basketball has the best.
Oh, it's without just, a doubt. It's not even woo! Close.
I mean, you could even get turned up for some, like, I don't even know, like Wisconsin versus like Mary Poppins State, and you know it's going to be phenomenal
oh,
basketball.
Yeah. It gets classic real fast. And, you know, on basketball, so we've got to talk about the women, man. We got to give them
talk
their props because, my goodness, they're shocking the world right now. I mean, for those who believe in them or not, Alabama going back-to-back wins in this tourney. I mean, what this women's team can do, I mean, like, this is just an amazing team. I've never seen Alabama play this well in women's, I don't think ever.
I will ditto that right there. Yeah, this is, especially like the start they had, what was it, like 15, 16, something, like close mm-hmm. to 20,
yeah.
20-0. I mean, sure, they did kind of cool off a little bit in conference play, but the SEC's got some phenomenal teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This year.
I mean, it was at one point, even my friends agreed with me, like, man, our women's team is playing better than our men's right now. They're looking way better than our men's. And it's just, man, I feel like they're not getting their props. I mean, you go to Coleman Ernie's girls' games, and no one's there. Mm-hmm. Despite them, I mean, even at points where the women's team was ranked higher than the men's. Right. When the men's was unranked for a little bit, and the women's were in the top, what, 15?
Yeah.
Like, man, I mean, beating Missouri and getting, you know, beating Tennessee. I mean, it's always good to beat Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
I mean, but Tennessee, though, they had it coming. They've lost 7 straight from this point. So I don't know what's going on there in Knoxville when it comes to women's, but they're going to need to ask Pat Sumlin for some help or something because I don't know what's going on with them. This is not the Tennessee team that we're used to. I kind of parallel them to typically Kentucky of men's basketball, but mm-hmm. I mean, Kentucky, I mean, sure, they're still up there, but it's just not as they were before.
I mean, when your team has their own separate logo, like, exactly. They don't even rock the orange tee. They have their own Lady Volunteers tee. Like, mm-hmm. you need to live up to that logo,
exactly.
man.
Exactly. You've got that Pat Summit blue.
Mm.
Like, you're too good for the orange and white. You've got that blue, that blue that stands out, that even the football team wants to bite that. Like, come on, Tennessee, you've got to do better. But I'm not complaining, because anytime we beat Tennessee, oh, man, oh, boy.
Yes.
Hey. Hey. Man, I lost the words, but in a couple minutes, I mean, we've got been playing Texas.
Yeah.
Now, last time, it was an awful sight to see for the Tide, I mean, but... It's Texas, man. What do you have to say about this game, Jay?
Yeah, well, looking at ESPN's little matchup predictor right here, they're giving Alabama a fat 7.7% chance to win this game. So everybody's siding Texas. Texas favored by 16.5. Texas has only lost 3 games this year. So to put it in English, they're pretty good. yeah, this will definitely be an uphill battle for the ladies. Not going to sugarcoat it at all. They got to probably play their best game of the year, if I'm just going to be completely transparent, if they want to win this and keep their tournament hopes alive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if you've been keeping up with women's like I have, but man, oh, man. When Alabama plays teams that they're way better than, they make sure to get the job done and plunge them. But when they play teams that are even the slightest better than them, they end up losing, and sometimes losing by a good margin. I mean, I feel like the only upset they pulled off this season, now I could be wrong, but it was against Ole Miss. When they had beat Ole Miss, and Ole Miss, that's a tough team. I mean, last time I checked, my friend sent me a message like, dude, they're destroying Vandy. I mean, he showed me a picture. The score was 25-5, I believe. The first quarter was about to be over. But, I mean, look. The women's team, they're going to need Ace Austin. I mean, they're deaf to be shooting lights out. I mean, sure, we can talk about Jessica Timming shooting lights out, Carly Weathers getting boards and, you know, going for double-doubles. But I feel like definitely who's been kind of the star of this tournament so far is Ace Austin. Yep. Like, man, if she balls out tonight, I can see them taking down this this monster of Texas. Now, who do you think they're going to win? What are your thoughts on this? How do you think the outcome of this game is going to be?
Outcome of this game, I do not think Texas will cover. I'll say that. I feel
really?
Like 16.5 is a little too much, but I do think Texas does win. I think, I mean, you asked me for my honest opinion, so I think Texas wins it by 10, probably like a 85-75 kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, it hates to be on this side, but I mean, Alabama, like, I've told them what they need to do. Their depth needs to be shooting balls out. I mean, Essence Cody, she's got to get the board. I be seeing you. You be giving up on them rebounds of playing on defense. Like, you'll just give up. Essence, I know you're not listening to me right now. But if she ever hears this, please, you got to keep on going. You got to keep on rolling, girl. But, hey, I mean, it's going to be a battle. Please prove me wrong.
That's
but
right.
I feel like Texas, they're going to run by pretty decent margins. I don't think they'll cover. I feel like Alabama will give them a run for their money this time because they have something to lose. Now, Alabama's a lock for the tournament. But if they win the SEC, man, hey, the path could be way, way easier.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get back, I mean, we're not done with Alabama. I mean, shoot, we've been talking about Alabama for a good little bit.
That's right.
And as Alabama Station, you got to keep it going. So more Alabama right after the break.
Roll that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Student Section Sports, man. JD, man, we're just talking about this. I mean, shoot, in the spirit of Women's History Month, if you didn't know.
I did not know.
We're going to talk about a team that's been making history. The Alabama women's softball team going 21-0. Now, it is not their record, but, I mean, hopefully they'll be partying like it's 2019 when they won 33 games in a row. I mean, shout out to the ladies, man.
Shout out to the ladies. Number 4 ranked, and they're, I mean, it's currently the top of the third. They're in their second game of a doubleheader against Ole Miss, and they are up 8-0. So it's looking like 22-0, Devin.
Ooh.
I mean, hate to put the cart before the horse here, but I mean, they've just been on a roll. And I mean, quite frankly, like we just talked about the women's team, nobody's really talking about our softball team.
Oh, absolutely.
Even
not.
Though, I mean, like we said, 21-0, I mean, they haven't really played anybody great, except they did beat Florida State early in the year, and Florida State was ranked number 6. They beat them 8-0 and 5-1 in Tallahassee. So, I mean, they didn't just beat them. Like, they kind of took them to the woodshed and got the paddle out and started whacking. But, I mean, yeah, it's no matter who you play, going 21-0, impressive.
I mean, they're setting the tone for this, like, conference season. Like, they're putting Ole Miss to work. And Ole Miss has a pretty good softball team. I mean, I mean, they're so good. I mean, during the summer, last summer, I was watching documentaries on them. I'm just like, oh, yeah, good. I never paid attention. I'm like, oh, man, they're very good. But no, man, I don't think they can handle the Tide now. I mean, this Tide team is rolling. I mean, complete, utter domination. I mean, if you look at the scores of these games, sure, you can say they're playing nobodies, but they're winning and winning with some winning with passion. Let me tell you. I mean, 8-0 against Ole Miss. Well, what more can you say?
It's 9-0 right now. So
yeah. I'm wrong. 9-0 now. What more can you say? This is a dominant team, man. We've got to get out to these games, man. I guess we do.
Yeah, I haven't been out to one either,
man. Like out of my whole time here, like softball, and I'd go as far as to say they're probably our best women's team on campus. Now it's arguable because gymnastics and that's happening right now, but softball, man. Let me tell you, they're definitely the future of Alabama's women's sports. Wouldn't you say so?
I would say so. I would argue they're the past and the present as well. They've kind of, especially the last few years, they've really had a run of dominance, and this team's keeping it going. So, yeah.
I mean, with the Natty in 2012, I believe, and also Montana Fouts, her little string of domination at the mound, man. I mean, this Alabama's women's softball, the only ones play softball.
Right.
Softball team is just, hey, they're letting the whole nation hear it, man.
That's right.
And we're talking softball, we got to talk baseball. I mean, they're doing well as well. I mean, like, I just can't get it, man. Alabama, I love the fact that Alabama is an everything school now. That's what it feels like. Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah, it really does. Maybe the football team isn't what it used to be, but basketball team has championship expectations now every year. Women's basketball, we just talk about them having great years. Softball and baseball, too, they are off to a piping hot start. Let's see, what are they? 11-3. They just won the Frisco College Baseball Classic down there in Texas,
upsetting Iowa.
Iowa and then Oregon State.
Yep.
I don't know if you watched that game, but boy, the ending to that game, phenomenal. Oregon State, they had bases loaded, no outs, bottom of the ninth. Mm-hmm. Then shout out to Peyton Steele, right fielder, probably the best throw I've. Top five in my life, I'll say that. I've seen some good throws, but from right field all the way right to the catcher's mitt at home. Turns a double play is phenomenal. Hey, they man, did. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I got it. No, that's the power of Peyton Steele, man. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, this Alabama baseball team is showing promise. And I feel like I've mentioned this before about them needing the finish. That's their main problem. True. They go into these games and don't know how to finish. And Rob Vaughn has been preaching, we've got to finish. We've got to learn how to finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they're finally getting it down pat because, I'll keep mentioning it until Kingdom come. That USM game last year. In the Super Regional, I wanted to throw about a million things at my TV watching them just collapse. And I'm glad Rob Vaughn has tuned that up. They can finally finish games. I mean, I went to the Alabama-Jacksonville State game during the week. And they're sure, you can say, midweeks don't matter. Let me tell you, a lot of people have been falling to some midweek games recently. But they're learning how to finish. They held on against them 6-5, and then they're dominating when they need to dominate. I mean, they tore up Alabama State 13-4. I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing at the Diamonds, whether it be softball or baseball.
That's right. And coming up, let's see, it's 7:20. So in about 20 minutes, they tee off against North Florida. Shout out to my boy Gabe Norton who goes there. There's about a 0% chance he's listening to this right now. But they are expected to dominate, so I guess we're going to see if they're going to dominate.
Oh, yeah, they better have at it, man. I mean, keep the train going, man. Keep
I will say, March 10th, we got Troy coming here. You know, Troy just beat Georgia, so we may need to look out right there.
Midweeks, they're scary. You can say they don't matter all you want. No, they don't put all their pitchers. They're just trying to work out through the rotation. Nah, man, these games, like when it comes down to the nitty-gritty in selection day, they're going to be looking at these. And just like in all sports, you end up losing that one game you shouldn't have lost, you're out of there.
Exactly.
You're going a lower seed. You can't make the argument that you're better than some other school. Like, so, hey, they got to stay locked in. They have got to stay locked in. And speaking of locking in, let's talk about Ryan Williams. Excuse me. Oh. Number one, Ryan Coleman Williams. That's right. Not only did he change his number, he changed his name. JD, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is America. You can do whatever you want, I guess. I mean, maybe just after the kind of sophomore slump he had, it's like, you know what? Let's change it up. Let's go back to the old Sarah Land number right here. And let's add on Mama's last name, too, I guess. I mean, quite personally, it's his number, his name. I don't care. I mean, If it helps them perform on the field next year, sure. But I will say, guys, I actually did a little research coming into this, but guys who changed their name, like NFL-wise, they usually have had some major slumps right after changing the name. Like Chad, you remember Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco.
Ochocinco.
As soon as he changed the name to Ochocinco, he went from like 1,500 yards to 500 yards.
Well, interesting.
In 2008. And Josh Allen for the Jaguars, he added that little Hines, did exactly what Ryan Williams did. He went from 17 and a half sacks to 8 sacks.
Wow.
So, not a good sign.
Oh, man, I hope it doesn't get worse, man. Let me tell you, I don't care what Ryan does. As long as he learns how to catch the ball, he can change his number to 99 and call himself Yoko Ono. Just catch the ball for me, man. And I will say this. I'm mighty happy. Oh, somewhat happy. Let me roll back. I do feel bad for the people who bought all those number 2 jerseys. Because those, I mean, you could say they're classics, but you're going to be looking a little awkward walking in that Bryant Denny with that on when your buddy next to you has the number 1 on or your girlfriend has the number 1 on. Like, ah, ha, ha, you don't have the new jersey. But I will say this. I can finally walk in with my Derrick Henry jersey that I still wear to this day and now have to worry about people saying, you have a Ryan Williams jersey? Like, no. Got to turn around. I'm a real Bama fan.
Amen.
I was born into this. Derrick Henry. My favorite NFL. My favorite college. He is my favorite NFL player.
Yeah,
that's still the truth. College football player of all time. And I would make the argument he's the best. I know I'm going to make a lot of angry people.
You're talking about best college player all time, any school or just?
Any school, man.
Wow.
I'm all on the Derrick Henry dream, man. I know a lot of people are probably going to blow up this phone line. But, hey, man. Have at it, man. But Derrick Henry, he's my favorite. Am I biased? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to say he's the best.
Yes.
But, man, it's going to feel a little good walking around with number 2 and people, hopefully, the real fans already know he's the number 2.
Exactly.
But being able to be like, yep, I got my Henry jersey on.
Real fans will see you with a 22 Derrick Henry jersey.
That's right.
They'll be like, hey, there you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a 22 Henry jersey. But, hey, let me tell you, I mean, changing his number was interesting move, and hopefully we'll get that vintage Ryan Coleman Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone had made a joke with me. He's like, what'd he do, marry the stadium? Talking about Coleman Coliseum. I don't know. I mean, but if he plays bad, he might need to, grab some boards for the basketball team. How tall is he?
Shoot, I don't think he's tall enough to get any boards, so I'll tell you that.
We don't need another guard, I'll tell you that. And we also signed another guard, which I have my thoughts on that. But, hey, we're getting top prospects, so I can't complain too much.
That's right.
But that'll be all for Alabama going on. But, man, we've got some NFL action for you coming up on you after the break. Gentlemen, we're back. Did you miss us? I hope you did. Because, hey, we're coming at you. JD Kazaya, Devin Hughes with Student Section. Man, oh, man. I mean, with the rebrand we've been going through, covering all sports, I will say it has been very, very helpful that we're able to talk about all sports, because I know back in the day when it was just me and Josh, we didn't have a lot to talk about during the offseason. We were kind of just, I mean, picking at the scraps trying to find stuff to talk about. We'd talk about even the most ridiculous stuff. We'd even do small talk for like 5 minutes. But, man, oh, man, we don't have to worry about that anymore because we can talk about the NFL offseason. Man, things are really heating up. JD, talk to me.
Well, a lot of free agency moves, a lot of rumors that are really hot and spicy, and a lot of trades. I think most notable would be the Bills snagging DJ Moore from the Bears. I mean, big for Josh Allen. Big to really bolster and really get a true number one wide receiver. What do you think about that, Doug?
I mean, no longer do you have to deal with the diva named Stephon Diggs, which we'll get to him later. But, man, I mean, it feels like the Bills go through wide receivers like just in, out. They just go through them. But the Bills, this was a great move. I mean, I'm not sure what the Bears are getting in return. I assume and I'd hope they'd be getting something good because that North Division is competitive. But the Bills, they're going to need a lot more than just a wide receiver to, you know, get them where they need to be, hopefully getting to an AFC championship and winning, going to the Super Bowl, where they can go on and lose four more in a row.
Let me stop.
I do believe that the Bills, they are a threat. They still be a threat. And I feel like I've just come to the acceptance that they'll still be around. I mean, and I know we go through this year after year. We're like, all right, their window's closing this year. They have to win. We've been saying this since what? 2019? 2020?
It feels that way, yeah.
Like, this is their last year. This is their 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 year. And now it is finally the great year of our Lord, 2026. And I think I've gone to the point where it's just like, the Bills are just going to be here to stay. I'm not sure if they're going to win. And it's mainly a no. But, JD, do you feel like the Bills, the longevity? I'm going to ask the question that's probably going to be annoying. Is this their last year to win it?
This is their last year? I don't think so. As long as they got 17 back there. And, like, I hate to be the guy who puts it all on the quarterback. I feel like that's what everybody does now. They put, like, the entire team on the quarterback. And they're like, oh, they got, like, Lamar Jackson back there. They're going to be great. Which, I mean, but when it comes to a guy like Josh Allen, he's good enough to where, like, I saw him in the playoffs last year. He just turned into Superman. He put the team on his back. Now, did he also make a bunch of mistakes that kind of cost him? Yeah, sure. But he is good enough to where he can carry this team to an AFC championship, a divisional. Can he carry them to a Super Bowl win? I don't know about that. But
you think that they can get there?
They can get there.
Definitely. I mean, you've got to get past maybe a healthy Mahomes. I mean, coming off an ACL injury is always interesting. You've always got the Ravens, who they may seem like they're on the decline, but I'm going to say that they're actually opposite, on the way up.
Interesting.
They're reloading, I feel.
Yeah.
The Bengals, they could be back. What do they do with Joey B? Whatever the coaching situation looks like, how that.
If they can get an O-line, that's probably what they need to do.
Yeah, an O-line and a defense that actually knows how to play.
So true.
I'd actually put more blame, when it comes to Cincinnati, on the defense than the offense.
Agreed.
I mean, Trey Hendrickson can't carry the whole defense by himself. Their secondary sucks. So their linebackers can't do anything. And their linemen don't do anything to help their linebackers that can't do anything anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, so the Bears will be getting a second-round pick in return, which is nice. With DJ Moore, the Bills will also be receiving a fifth-round pick. Kind of fleeced right there, but the Bears, they've been making interesting draft choices. I feel like they can do right with the second-round pick. Yeah. Do they need to add that fifth-round pick? I don't think so, but they probably just use it for some leverage. They probably have a bunch of backups.
Yeah. It said they also needed to clear a lot of cap space.
Oh, that's right. So they just had to make a cut somewhere. And I feel like another interesting one, Trent McDuffie going to Los Angeles with the Rams. JD,
what do you
think about that?
That's one I actually did not see, but that is a great pickup for the Rams. I'm going to be completely honest. Trent McDuffie, what, he was with the Bengals before? Or
Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah. Same difference. But, yeah. Absolutely sensational move for the Rams, who quite frankly, I think they are still in win now mode. Honestly.
Oh yeah,
maybe. I mean, Stafford's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many more years we can say that, but he just won the MVP last year at 37. So
that's what I have my thoughts on.
right. I mean, but still, he's balling out at an MVP. Put it in quotes right here.
Yeah,
level. So will he have a monstrous fall off like we saw like Aaron Rodgers have whenever?
Oh, I don't think so. I'll give him his flowers, man.
Yeah.
He's an outstanding player. I mean, I may have my thoughts on him winning MVP, but let me tell you, Matthew Stafford still got that dog in him.
For sure.
He has not left. He's going to continue to be a threat. Hopefully, he doesn't do what a lot of quarterbacks do, think they've got it way longer. Hopefully, he does like a Peyton Manning. Well, hopefully. I hope he doesn't win the Super Bowl. I do not want to see that. But I hope he retires when he's good, when he's done,
right.
Like when he's like at the right time, and not like Aaron Rodgers kind of dragging out, honestly, kind of ruining his legacy, in my opinion.
To be fair, yeah.
But the Rams with McDuffie, the Chiefs will receive the first round pick, 29th overall,
solid.
A fifth round pick, sixth round pick, and a third round pick in 2027. So the Chiefs,
they got a haul right there, for sure.
You took the words right out of my mouth. They got a haul. That's going to help Mahomes out, Reed. That's going to – man, this Chiefs team, that's – I don't know who won this trade more.
We'll have to see. And, I mean, McDuffie could have a fall off too. Like, he's kind of getting around that age where corners start to kind of trickle down.
Oh, yeah, and you need the most – especially if the West is anything like it was last year,
baby.
You're going to need some top-tier secondary because, I mean, as we saw who won the West, secondary matters. I mean, it's very air-heavy. I mean, it's Arian. I don't. It's just AFC. It's Picasso. The NFC West. I'm not sure if it's run heavy because sometimes it is, sometimes it's pass heavy. But you have to lock in. It's the NFC West is not a marathon. It is a sprint. Whoever wins the most wins out and goes the deepest. Goes to the Super Bowl, honestly. But I mean, what I'd say that's a pretty blockbuster trade. But is it bigger than this next one that I'm going to mention? Lions trading David Montgomery. They traded away, I believe that was Knuckles, to the Texans. What are your thoughts, JD?
Man, I think this is a big win for the Texans. I'm gonna say that. Now, I mean, the Lions do have a Pro Bowl running back in Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm-hmm. So are they necessarily, like, absolutely crippling their run game? No. But I'm trying to see what the Texans got here. Let's see. They traded the Lions an O-lineman, a fourth rounder, and a seventh rounder next year. I feel like the Lions could have got a little bit more in return for David Montgomery because he is still balling out at crazy level, honestly. I mean, if it wasn't for Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield with him, I think he definitely would have made the Pro Bowl, like, easily. So, big win for the Texans right here, especially with all the stuff going on with Joe Mixon. We don't know what is going on with him, but yeah, a desperate need for their run game and kind of puts them in a position to maybe make a move with or in the AFC South, which is not as wide open as the NFC South, but it's definitely open.
Yeah, it's an interesting case. I mean, we're going to see what Sonic's going to do without Knuckles. Hopefully Sonic can find Tails, but that's up to the GMs and the Lions, man. I mean, it was fun seeing them, both those guys, play together on that Lions squad, man. They didn't kind of get the season they wanted to, but, man, it was fun to watch them two together. You just got to love good running back duos,
absolutely,
man. Reminds me of who was it for the Panthers back in 2015? You had Stewart and somebody else. Can't remember his name.
McCaffrey was still in
McCaffrey,
college.
That's right.
Was he? 2015, McCaffrey's in.
Yeah, McCaffrey was in college. But, yeah. But they had a nice little running back duo. It wasn't that big, but.
Yeah.
But, man, I want the. Man, the Texans, they really needed running back help.
Absolutely.
They needed a running back to help out old buddy. Can't think
old
of his name
buddy.
Right now.
Stroud?
Stroud, yeah.
Playoff CJ? Come
on, playoff CJ, yeah. Because. Honestly, if they could have ran the ball, that would have maybe cut the loss down to, what, a couple less points?
Maybe three instead of four interceptions.
Yeah, I know, right? But, man, the Texans, they definitely won this trade, and they needed this. They genuinely needed this.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're talking about running backs, I feel like let's get to some rumors. We were saying we were going to talk about some rumors, and I feel like there's one that you really want to get my reaction
on. I really do. So, as a Seahawks guy, Devin, you made that very clear on this show.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think about the Seahawks possibly letting the reigning Super Bowl MVP, Kenneth Walker, just get out of there in free agency, man?
Let me tell you this. I hope it's a trust thing because I've been hearing stuff about that. He wants to have Kenneth Walker's trust. I mean, he's going to be trying to get it back. Now, I get the money ball aspect. We don't want to overpay. But Kenneth Walker, man, I would say this. Because I've always been this way. I've never really liked any of Seattle's running backs. Like, Rashad Penny, I'm sorry, I wasn't a fan. I know Charbonnet's good, but I just see him as a touchdown poacher for Walker. Hmm. When they drafted Walker, I said, that's going to be our running back. And anytime I've seen us satisfied with the running back, they just get rid of him. Alex Collins, RIP. Man, what he did in Arkansas was amazing.
That's right, dude.
Like, talk about a guy. I mean, he's right under Derrick Henry for me in SEC running backs.
Dude, that's
I've watched.
That is a real one pull right there. That is
Alex.
I mean, that's some elite ball knowledge,
Alex,
right there.
I'm like that dude. Y'all will never know about Alex Collins. Man, Alex Collins, man. I could go on for hours talking about this dude. Dude played lacrosse. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Lacrosse is a legend. But, man, I can't believe we got rid of him. He had so much promise. I know the Eddie Lacy thing wasn't serious, but boy, that would have been fun to have him.
Yeah, bro.
But Holani, he's nice. But Kenneth Walker is our running back one, and I stand firm with that. Now, honestly, I say keep him. I say pay whatever you need to pay. Sure, you can say, oh, but the running back market this. Oh, running backs don't stay healthy. No, you've got to trust the process.
That's right.
If it works, it works. Now, I think, honestly, I'd go as far as say cut – Charbonnet loose, keep Walker. No, I know it's cheaper, and you can get another running back on down the laying line later. But Kenneth Walker, I'm a huge fan of Kenneth Walker. I think I haven't been dissatisfied with the Seahawks running back since Marshawn. So I say, do what you need to keep him. I mean, we won a Super Bowl. What do you got to lose?
We've
got
the extra money to spend. Honestly, he was the reason why the offense was even functioning in that Super Bowl. Because the offense was dead if it wasn't for Kenneth Walker and breaking out those monster runs. Like, so many NFL teams, I feel like today, are always trying to make the cheapest move instead of like, okay, we have a winning product here. Why not splurge a little bit and keep that? Like, I mean, does that make sense? Like, man, come on now.
I don't know, man. But any other rumors you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, as a Jags fan over here, I mean, the possibility that they might lose both Devin Lloyd, arguably their best player on defense, and Travis Etienne to free agency.
Yeah, it was interesting. Ooh,
yeah, I mean, I feel like talking about the cheap move right here. I mean, Jags, we got to cough up a little money. I mean, maybe it's time for Florida to start implementing a little state tax down there. Like, come on, man.
I don't know what they do for the Jags, but, man, I'd love to see Jacksonville be the Premier League of Florida. But that's a conversation for another time, and we've got to get on and move on. You know, Sage's got to get paid, so we'll be back right after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Student Section. Man, oh, man, has it been a show, man. This has been probably our best show so far. How do you think?
I would agree. I mean, we're talking about it off the air, but we actually have stuff to talk about. I mean, we don't have to dig too hard to find some pretty elite sports content, especially about the Alabama Crimson Tide, man.
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, and sure, man, like what's been going on right now, we can talk about the World Baseball Classic that's going on. Talk to me about that. Man.
Well, the team, I know all our listeners are concerned about, the United States of America, they are currently up 2-1 in the bottom of the second against Brazil. So that'll be interesting. Japan, dude, I'll tell you what, Japan, they're looking kind of scary.
Oh yeah,
right now. They went 13-0 today against Chinese Taipei, which I didn't know was a country, but they just got waxed 13-0 by Japan. So
yeah, I mean, back in 2023, that's who we lost to. Second place was to Japan, because they know how to play some baseball over
they
there,
do, man.
Like that's gonna be, that could be the final right there. Us and Japan running it back if the bracket's right.
That may be how it is for the rest of the World Baseball Classic history. If I mean, if things keep going the way they do, if there's more Shohei Ohtani's over there in Japan, I mean, and you know, America's always gonna have great baseball players because this is America's pastime.
Oh yeah,
here, baseball.
Oh yeah, Mr. Aaron Judge leading the USA team. I mean, he's got the cover again for the show. What do you think about that?
Ooh, did not know he got the cover again. That's, I mean,
but it's really not for the Yankees. It's for Team USA.
Interesting.
That's an interesting. But something else in live sports is Alabama, Texas, currently losing 6-13. It's halfway through the first quarter.
Yikes!
But I'm sure what everyone's been waiting on is our prediction for the Alabama-Tennessee. Woof. Man, what a time. Iron Bowl, what am I thinking? I just got rivalries on the mind. I just love beating Tennessee. Rivalry That's all it is. I'm still on that high. But, man, the Iron Bowl of basketball. Does it get any better than this, other than football, obviously? But, I mean, let me tell you, that fiasco last year we had –
Oh man,
you weren't there, but let me tell you, I'm sure someone has told you about the camping out, the storm, the stampede, the early wake up, and the brutalness of college game day. Let me tell you, man, that's I don't never want to go through it again. So let that be said that I'm going to roll by Coleman just out of curiosity. I better not see anybody camping out in this stormy weather. Because I'm not sure if you're in Tuscaloosa or not, folks. But it's not porn. Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
But, man, is it? It's a lightning show out there. Didn't you see, JD?
Yeah. As soon as I hopped my car today, it just...
Yeah, man, it's out there. So just stay inside, folks. It's not that deep. And I'm going to be honest, this isn't a hype game.
Yeah, especially when the team rolling into Coleman is whopping 16-14 and 7-10 in the SEC. Although, according to Bruce Pearl, they should definitely be in the tournament. So,
but not Miami, Ohio. No. They do not deserve it.
Not the 30-0 team. But.
Yeah. But, man, I mean, Auburn, this is really Auburn's game right there. Like, they've got to win to even.
They have to.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially, they have to win to get in the tournament. I mean, they could. They're not winning the SEC tourney. Let's just be real. But
how far do you think that they'll get in the SEC tourney? Like, just realistically.
Depends on who they're playing in the bracket. They're seeded right now. If everything were to end today, they'd be in the bottom half. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Let's see. They're down there. Let me tell you. They're sixth from the bottom.
Sixth from the – yeah. Ooh, that's
– they're going to be playing probably a competent Vandy team.
Okay.
Maybe A&M, somewhere around that, the bracket. We don't know because they – anything could happen tomorrow. But let's just get on with the prediction. JD, what do you have?
Yeah. Like we talked about earlier, Alabama has a lot of holes, a lot of problems. They're – honestly, not playing their best basketball. We saw the past two games have been, well, one was a very struggle win where Bama only left for 22 seconds, and the other game was a road loss. So I think this game will be very close, especially with Auburn in total desperation mode, and it's a rival game. So these games will always be close. I think Alabama, like, this is another squeak by kind of game. Like, I'm going to say 94-90. Really?
Wow.
Really close.
No defense whatsoever.
Yeah, no. Because this is the Alabama Crimson Tide you're talking about, Devin. We don't play defense. So, but I'm going to give Auburn their props, but I don't think Auburn's going to win. But keep it real close.
Well, I do agree with the no offense, no defense. Mm-hmm. But I'm also on the side of no offense. This is going to be poor shooting display for Alabama. When it comes to this time of the season, they get in this I don't really care mode, or they're just so focused on the future, on what's next. I mean, last year with that whole Robert Morris thing, they were just getting ready to blow out BYU. And I feel like this is going to be the same case going on for this game. Do I think Alabama's going to win? Yes, but man, are they going to win off the hairs of their chinny chin chin. And I do feel like this is going to be a bit of a lower scoring one for Alabama. So it'll be close, don't get me wrong. It will be close. But I'm saying as low as 64-68 Alabama.
Whoa.
Not even good
limbo
defense.
Limbo game right there.
Poor
Come on
offense. I'm calling it. Poor offense. They're just not going to be focused. They're going to have that rough start going in. And then they're just going to play down the Auburn.
Even,
I don't know what
even,
it is.
Even for a rivalry game like this, you still think that they won't be locked in a little bit?
No, Auburn's going to pretty much use all their power to beat Alabama just because.
Yeah.
And also to get in the tournament just so they can be, what, lose the first four?
Yeah, exactly.
But this is how it is when anybody plays Alabama. And I do feel like Alabama's going to waltz into Coleman thinking that, all right, this is an easy game, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to fool around and end up like how it did for Georgia, but win. So more like a Tennessee-type game.
Right.
But, I mean, Coach Oates, LeBaron, Aiden if you're playing, everybody, Lowell Williamson, learn how to play basketball. Lock in. This is a game. Please prove. And this is another case. Just prove me wrong. Make me look stupid. I want to see us win, dominate, and blow them out. But the way we've been playing, I don't believe it. So this is their chance to prove me wrong and make me look like an idiot.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I feel strongly on this low-scoring game. I'm sorry.
No, Williamson, that brother was Patriot League Player of the Year last year, man. And now it's like, man, I mean, maybe this is a legacy game for 1-5 right here, man. Hey.
Who knows? But that'll be all for this week's student section. Now we will not be running a show for spring break because school closes at 5 p.m. Amen. So unfortunately, we won't meet the deadline for that. But hey, after the break, we could. Hey, we might or may not have one, not one but two shows.
Yeah, I heard maybe you might hear from me and Devin on Sunday night, perchance.
Perchance, but we've got to wait till after spring break. But hey. Stay tuned in. Stay locked in. I want to thank you for listening. Thank the viewers, JD.
Man, thank you to our listeners. Hopefully nobody's viewing this. Like we said, we may have to call security if you guys are somehow watching
That's
us.
That's right.
But, yeah, we love y'all, and we do it for you guys.
Oh, yes. Indeed, indeed. We'll see you sometime. Have a great spring break, folks.